Hey, yo, welcome to the Unchained Podcast. I'm your host, Keelan Martin, back for episode 26. Man, it has been a long 2 weeks. As a matter of fact, I think I owe y'all another podcast before the week is out, so bear with me. But the beginning of last week, though, man, I gave you guys a live video. It got some great feedback. As you guys know, I do not do this podcast to boost my own ego. I literally start this podcast, man, to spread the word of God, to spread truth. Hopefully bring some enlightenment to those who want to hear the word of God, who want better, who want to change, who like the word of God broken down in a very simplistic way. I try not to be too preachy on here. I try to teach as much as I can. I'm forever increasing my knowledge, but you know, that's good for me, but that's also, you know, good for you guys as I try to break down and explain the word of God in its most simplistic truth. But anyway, man, I hope you guys are doing great. I hope you guys are doing wonderful. You know, the past 2 weeks have been really, really good as God has opened some amazing doors. Last week was my first Warrior 1-3 week. You guys have seen those pictures on my Facebook page. I didn't know much about it, but trust me, I got well immersed last weekend, man. It was a phenomenal experience. You know, a cabin full of men just praising and loving on God. Lives were changed. People came to Christ, man. You couldn't ask for a better 3-day experience, man. So I'm so blessed and honored that I got to be a part of it. Shout out to Pastor Tommy, man, for being super obedient in his obedience to start this thing. So, and with that said, man, you guys have to know that everything that you guys go through in life, I want you guys to take the selfishness out of it, because God will allow us to go through some things in life that is not for us to go and mope around about. It's not for us to go and do the whole woe is me thing and play the victim. God, I truly believe God literally allows these things to happen in our life so we can gain that experience and go back and save others who are dealing with the same experience. To go back and grab those who didn't get the exposure that we got, who didn't get the love and coaching that we got going through our experiences, but we can be the light for them, amen. So again, you know, again, shout out really, man, to all the brothers there, all the Warrior 1-3 fam. I truly, you know, love you guys, man. I bonded with some great, incredible men. So that will forever be a life-changing experience of mine, and looking forward to the next one, man. So anyway, I'm looking to keep the fire going as I am, again, getting back on the podcast. And of course, if you guys have not been on Facebook and have not seen the post, actually tomorrow at 7 p.m., we are starting the Ephesians Bible study on the full armor of God, man. Each week we're going to be going over a specific part of the armor that we are supposed to be putting on every single day, you know, to fight off demonic attacks, man. Because really, what we're doing, man, is we're preserving ourselves, man, so we can be used by God's glory. And anytime, you know, you don't preserve yourself, you don't preserve your mind, and you allow all this junk to get in, and you know, that stuff, it does something to you, man, which kind of sparked today's podcast, because we're going to be talking about you know, in the still, you know, and I'll explain what that means. And that title, so I made dual title this one, because the first title I had for this podcast was Hearing Voices. You know, and then of course I'll explain that too. But man, I'm super excited. You know, like I said, I just have this yearning in my spirit, man. And I don't know what Warrior 1-3 did. I already had a fire, but this is kind of like fire times 20. So if any of you are listening to this podcast, man, I promise you, as long as you take heed to what God has given me and you let this word get down into you and you share this word with somebody who needs to hear it, I told you, biggest payment I will ever receive is those of you using this to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ, man. So thank you guys, for those of you who are doing it. Thank you for your love and support. I thank you guys for tuning in. Thank you for sharing the messages, the likes, the hearts, all that stuff. Thank you guys who have joined the Unchained Transformation Group. Again, if you're not in there, I advise you again. We're doing some deep work. We're going to be doing a private seminar for members only. Just going through some information, man, and that information being, you know, how to deal with some of the strongholds in your life. What are some practical tools you can use and apply like immediately to get immediate results in your life? It does not take a whole lot, man, once you commit to change and transformation. I promise you it does not. But anyway, again, if you guys want to support the podcast, Again, you guys already know Cash App at $ no chains on me. That's no chains on me with a Z. And then, of course, you can go to anchor.fm/unchained and you can choose whatever sponsorship you want to give. And I think on the website it's like $1, $5, or $10. And you guys know my spiel. You guys spend it at the gas station, Chick-fil-A, the grocery store, whatever it is. You guys eat that money. So, but then again, like I said, if this word does not impact you, so be it. I don't care. Keep your money. But I'm doing this to go and actually feed people, those who want to be changed and radically transformed, man, by the word of God. That is why I'm here. That's the biggest payment I can ever receive. So, again, for all of you who are weekly avid listeners, please forgive your boy. I was juggling several things at one time. So I had to make sure I was spending time with my booger, man, my daughter, making sure she got the daddy daughter time that she needed. So, if I had to prioritize, podcast had to take a backseat for a minute, but I'm back though. So, man, today's message, like I said, was really sparked out of, being in some meditation time. And I was really reflecting over the word that, you know, I wanted to, bring forth in the men's Bible study starting this Friday. And there was some, you know, it was really the helmet of salvation that got me. It was really thinking about protecting my mind. It was really that, you know, protecting my mind. And I feel like a lot of times, man, we have become we have become emotionally broken people. And I don't mean emotionally like broken, like somebody did something to us. Yeah, that could have been the cause of it. But we have become a people that have been led by our emotions and not our thoughts. You know, it's like we don't think ourselves out of emotions or out of situations, but we emotionally react to every single thing that happens. And before you know it, man, you are you're so far deep in a situation and you don't know how you got there. You don't know who you're hanging with. You don't know the actions that you're doing. And before long, man, it becomes very, very hard to get back. It becomes very hard to get back. And wherever you're trying to get back to, whatever your state of normalcy is, it begins to be hard to get back to that point. because, you know, Lord knows that you know, whenever you experience trauma and heartbreak or things of that nature, it is always, you know, it's one thing to get out. It's another thing to allow it to take you to a place that it's hard to get out of. And anybody who's experienced some betrayal, some heartbreak, something emotionally traumatic or mentally traumatic, you know exactly what I'm talking about, because you end up going down this rabbit hole. So for those of you who are listening today, you know, Heavenly Father, please touch those who are listening, and I pray that they open their eyes, their spiritual eyes, ears, and hearts, Father God, that you may use this word to plant deep down in them. May it touch them. May this word grow, and may it produce good fruit, Father God. In your heavenly name we pray, amen. You know, so this, and again, if I say this before, that when I study, I'm one that once I start down a path on studying it, you know, the Lord just takes me wherever and I end up with a bunch of notes. So I try to discard what I don't need and try to keep on what I do need as far as, you know, what's going on when I am, you know, trying to prepare a podcast or even when I'm preparing a message. But I came across a verse in 1 Kings 18, you know, verse 21. And it's the question came across in such a way that it intrigued me, because it indicated that we entertain some opinions that we don't need to entertain. And I'm gonna read this verse, and then I want you guys just to kind of think about the verse for a minute. And then I want to talk to you guys about something, and we'll get right back into the scripture. But 1 Kings 18, it says, "Then Elijah stood in front of them and said, 'How much longer will you waver, hobbling between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal is God, then follow him.' But the people were completely silent." I'm going to read that again. "Then Elijah stood in front of them and said, 'How much longer will you waver, hobbling between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal is God, then follow him.' But the people were completely silent," right? And this is what got me. What got me is when you are silent, and it's almost kind of like when you're growing up and your mom asks you a question when she catches you in the act of doing something. Like, why did you do that, huh? But you don't say nothing. Like you're completely silent. And so the silent almost shows the fact that you're guilty of something. You know what I mean? And it's like your mom could have been completely assuming, but because you were the only one there, you did it. Right? But when the question is asked, they are completely silent. They're completely silent. And I remember in a specific time and point in my life where, you know, I was new to this whole Christian thing. And, you know, I would be doing the praise and worship thing in church. And then I get back in the car and I turn on my Ludacris and then I play praise and worship. And then I get back in my car and I play some Ludacris. Then I play praise and worship on my way to work. And then when I got to work, I bumped some 50 Cent and I was back and forth all the time. Right. And, you know, it was even to the point where, oh, you know, some days I'm super spiritual and I say X, Y, and Z. But, you know, other days I'd be smoking weed. And so I would, you know, try to be faithful in my relationship at that time. And then at other times, I just wouldn't. And so I would remember having these thoughts of God talking to me about, you know, how long are you going to keep this up? How long are you going to keep this up? How long are you going to play church with me? Like, how long are you going to date me? How long are you going to continue to come to me and ask me for something when you're in need of it, but when you don't need it, you completely abandon me? God is like, how long are you going to treat me like a whore? How long is our relationship going to be transactional? Like, I don't do transactional with you. I don't do conditional love with you. So how long are you going to treat me this way? I thought it was a very thought-provoking question that Elijah asked him, that he stood in front of them. You know, he stood in front of like a whole nation of people and said, how much longer will you waver hobbling between two opinions? Like, how much longer? He basically, he's saying, make a choice. And if you guys remember correctly, maybe it was a couple weeks ago, and we talked about how God hates indecision. How when he says, if you're neither hot nor cold, he said, you're neither hot nor cold. He said, because you're lukewarm, I'll spew you out of my mouth. You know, nobody goes and hands a marathon runner a lukewarm cup of water. You know what I mean? Like, well, at least for me, when I play football, I don't want lukewarm water while playing football. I want an ice cold water. Lukewarm water, you know, it kind of tastes like plastic. You spit it out. You don't want to drink it. You know, it's distasteful. It's not satisfying to me. You know, and we've been in relationships like that where you're like with a indecisive person, and you know, you guys are trying to make a decision, and you know, that person is being indecisive, right? That they're being indecisive. Like, they can't make up their mind. Like, I don't know, you choose. Well, I don't know, you choose. Well, I don't want to choose, you choose. And it takes forever to come up with a decision, right? But this is a life or death decision. Like the familiar verse that I talked about recently, I said before you, life or death. There's a choice. And I think a lot of times when we're presented with a choice that alters our destiny, it's this weird feeling of, what am I going to miss out on? What pleasures am I giving away to make this choice? What impact does it have on me? And I think that's the selfish way to think about it, because we think about, what does the decision have on me, when we should be thinking about, what decision does it have on those in my life that I've been called to lead and to love and to teach and to help grow? Like, the decisions that you make, are they for you or are they for your children? Are they for you or are they for your sickly parents? Are they for you? Like what motivates your decisions, right? And so while I'm getting into this question, I always ask, because within our own mind, there's always the toggle or the waver between two opinions. And we can often entertain God's opinion, or we can entertain other people's opinion. And sometimes we're more swayed by other people's opinion than God's opinion. And this is why some people can have such low self-esteem, because they don't really believe God's opinion about them. They think they really believe what other people's opinion says about them. So if somebody tells you that you're not good enough, you tend to hang on to that. But when God says you are a royal priesthood, you are a chosen generation, you won't give that a second thought. You haven't even, you know, at least cracked the Bible open and studied the precepts to understand what it means. Like, you would rather take the thing that gives you the emotional roller coaster than to take the thing that speaks truth into your life and changes your mind and changes your heart and changes the way you walk about this earth. But most people will take the emotional route because they want to feel something. Some people will even self-sabotage to feel something. Some people will lay with people that they don't even want to lay with in order just to feel something. Some people are attracted to hurt just to feel something because they don't believe they deserve more. They will often settle for something less just to feel something. But why haven't you not put that same energy into what God says in order to feel something better, to feel something real? To feel something like the love of God is tangible. Like that's tangible in your life. That is something that God says, look, I will show up every day. My spirit can be with you every single moment if you wanted to. It's tangible. You can feel it. But you rather go for the thing that you can see versus that you don't see. So there are this whole bucket of ideas that we entertain. And I think it's crazy because we don't really give a second thought to what the Word of God says about us. And so the reason why I titled this In the Still is because we have such busy minds. Our minds are always busy. You know, whether it's with relationships, whether it's with work, whether it's with church stuff, whether it's with, you know, the kids, like all we do is go, 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 go. And there's always this busyness. I remember, last year I was doing this presentation in alternative schools. I was speaking at alternative schools, and I titled the speaking series Kill the Chaos because I was talking to a group of kids who have all this chaos in their life. They were sleeping in cars, and some were teenagers raising their younger siblings, and some were 7 and 8 year olds, and they kicked out of public school. Some didn't have parents, and so I can imagine what it's like to be that young but always having to worry about, you know, where money's coming from, what the shelter's like, where the food is coming from. I could not imagine, but I do understand what the chaos was like at that age. Because as a teenager, you know, I had a lot of chaos going on in my mind, a lot going on emotionally. There was a lot of internal conflict. And while my mother and my grandmother and the strong women in my life, while they did their best to try to raise a young man, they're not men. They don't know how men think. They don't know how men act. I didn't have that sort of bond. So I can remember growing up, I felt very disconnected. I could be in a house full of people, but I was very alone. I could not understand. My siblings were older than me. My brother was 6 years older than me. My sister was 8 years older than me. So of course, we didn't hang out like that. You know, my cousin, whom I was very close to, she moved to Atlanta with her mom. So at the end of the day, I felt like it was just me. You know, and that's not a victim thing, but it's like I took it like, yo, everybody's leaving. And I had all this internal anger, this internal rage that, you know, and I really couldn't put a finger on it, but I understand there was so much turmoil that the only way I could respond is out of sheer anger. I had no way to diffuse it. I was angry all the time. And so all these conflicting thoughts about, where is your dad? Why isn't your dad here? You know, all these thoughts. And I had, you know, the pressures of school, like dealing with bullies. And, you know, there were so many different things, you know, that I was dealing with, that the only way I knew how to deal with it was out of anger, or I would reach out to be in a relationship just to feel connected. I would do stuff just to feel connected. I would smoke. I would drink just to feel connected. I was trying to fill all these holes with stuff, trying to feel connected. And I say that because if we don't get a handle on these things, we end up dealing with a lot of, you know, inner chaos. And so when I was speaking to these kids, I understood that, you know, you have to kill the chaos. And the only way that for me that I knew to kill the chaos was to have them dream about something that they really wanted to accomplish. So while COVID pretty much snuffed it out, you know, I couldn't go back to the schools, but it ended up being a chapter in a book that I'm writing. There's a chapter called Kill the Chaos, and it talks about this very specific thing, that we have to literally kill all this busyness Like all these voices, which I told you that's where I got the original title, Hearing Voices, because we have all these voices. And I would say don't give so much credit to the enemy because he's not speaking to you like that. But what he does is he sends a message or an idea. And it's your job to filter through the idea if that's from God or if that's demonic, right? If it is a thought that you entertain that draws you out of the will of God, it's demonic. But some of us are so conditioned in our thinking, we never decide between the two what is what. We do what we feel is right. We do what we feel is right. I always thought that was the worst advice ever given. Somebody says, oh, do what you feel. Well, that's not smart. Do what you feel. Okay, doing what I feel landed me in the worst possible situation. How much longer should I endure this do what I feel thing? I think it's pretty stupid. But, you know, we don't think and filter out. You know, we don't filter through these thoughts and we just let every single thing take over, you know, how we talk, how we react, or how we respond to things or how we do things. And we give very little thought of the consequences afterwards because there's always these voices. Maybe it was a past boyfriend or girlfriend that said something that was hurtful. Maybe your marriage, you know, ended abruptly because of you know, something somebody did or something somebody said. Or maybe you guys couldn't agree on something, so the whole thing blew up. Maybe your kid said something to you. Maybe you said something to your kid that was very destructive. You know, maybe something you heard in your childhood from your parents. Maybe you're dealing with sexual abuse. But I know that with anything that happens to us, there's always a voice that comes along with it. Whether the offense was verbal or whether it was physical, there's always a voice that comes along with it. So even if it was a physical act against you, the idea behind the physical act is maybe you're worthless. You're not worth anything. But isn't it funny how nobody said it, but that's what you hear? Right? And so we tend to take these ideas and run with them, and there are all these voices. We're always hearing something. We're always hearing something. And, you know, and I'll tell you how we're going to fix this. I only have a verse for that one. I have a verse for that one. But I'm going to tell you one of the verses that helped me, and it was a very powerful verse, but we'll come back to it. But, you know, when we deal with all this internal chaos and this internal conflict, and you know, we're dealing with all these voices and all the things that have been said, all the past transgressions, all the past hurts, the things that we tell ourselves sometimes are absolutely disgusting because they literally cancel out the word of God in our life. You know, and it's not that God's promises aren't real, it's not that his word is not true, but when you talk to yourself in such a way where you disable yourself from receiving it, you render the word of God powerless, and that's not the way to do it, guys. This is really not the way to do it. In Psalms 46 and 10, and this is one of my favorite verses, one of my mom's favorite verses, it is, be still and know that I am God. I will be honored by every nation. I will be honored throughout the world. Now, I'm going to go the cliche route with this one because a lot of people do. They don't say the rest, but it's be still and know that I am God. Read that to yourself again. Be still and know that I am God. Now, when we say be still, it don't mean stop walking. It don't mean freeze. It don't mean like freeze tag. Be still. Be still and know that I am God. So, just the first word, be, just the first word means exist, occur, or take place, right? And so with just that first word, be, like be, occur, like be still, take place, right? Be still. And so you are to, and so when you read that word still, it's deep silence, still, calm. And look, and if you guys have, if you watch my Facebook, look, I go to the lake a lot. And I like to go when it's early. I like to go before the boats are out. I like to go when there's no motors ripping through the water. Why? Because there's a deep silence. There's a calm. There's a stillness that comes over you. If you just sit there and you just listen, right? There's a stillness, there's a calm. So when it says be still, it says exist in deep silence, exist in calm, exist in stillness of mind. Be still. And that word and means in addition to, right? It says, and know, to have a personal, that word know, to have a personal and intimate relationship with. In the Hebrew, that's what know means, to have a personal and intimate relationship with, right? So far, it is to exist in deep silence and to have a personal and intimate relationship with the God of the silence. Be still. Exist, okay? Exist in God's divine calmness, his divine peace, right? He says, no, to become one with that, which brings up the verse that, you know, it brings up the verse that Jesus, he is the peace that surpasses all understanding. He gives a peace that surpasses all understanding. That means when the world around you is chaotic, everything's blowing up, Jesus gives a peace, right? He gives a peace that nobody can understand. So the peace that surpasses all understanding is that being still, existing in the deep silence, the calm, the stillness of mind, in addition with that connection with God. See, when you have that intimate relationship and connection with God, it puts you in a place of peace that nobody can understand, right? So when you're in a close relationship with the Almighty Creator, there's nothing down here that can really bother you. That peace of God is within you. And to further explain this, I was at the lake yesterday, and as I stood there, and I was just kind of meditating, just watching the world around me, and I saw a hawk just kind of take a dive toward the water, grab a fish, fly back up, take it to the nest. And it brought up what Jesus was talking about. If he feeds the birds, right? And if he clothes the flowers, and if he loves me that much more, why should I be concerned? And it dawned on me that anything we ask God for is at hand's reach. It's just at hand's reach. It's just to ask, you know, just you pray, you let it go. But furthermore, he says, I already understand your needs. I already understand your needs. So the only thing that is really keeping you from experiencing my generosity in this way is the fact that you don't believe it. This is why you got so much inner chaos and confusion, and you're hearing all these voices, and there's no stillness of mind. It's because when we dig deep down to the surface, you don't believe it. Right? Come on, if we're going to be honest, that's the reason why you don't get excited when you hear that, because you really and truly don't believe it. You hear that, but then you look at your bank account. You hear that, but you and your girl are separated. Like, you hear that, but your kid's still drinking. Like, you hear that, but your kid's not coming home, they're sneaking out. Like, you hear that, but your car broke down. I truly believe those things, they happen in such a way so they can test your faith. If you could still praise when that happens, God's like, oh, you really believe what I said. As a matter of fact, you believe me for a better car because that one broke down. Yo, coming right up, sir. You're a child of mine, coming right up. But the issue is we don't have that stillness of mind because we're so conditioned to focus on the outside external circumstances. But when the Bible says the same Spirit of God that raised Jesus Christ from the dead lives within you, That brings me to think about, you know, two fish and five loaves of bread to feed a mass amount of people. He pretty much took a little bit and made a lot out of it. In which Jesus said that to kind of highlight, well, I'm not going to say kind of, but to highlight the fact that he says, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move, and it shall be moved. The reason why is because the mustard seed, as tiny as it is, the smallest seed, but it grows up to be the biggest tree in the garden. Yeah, I'm going to let that sink in for a minute. It's the smallest seed, but it grows up to be one of the biggest trees in the garden. It outgrows every other plant in the garden. Right? So I end up coming up with this title, In the Still, because, and here's another thing, is that I want you guys to understand is that when God says, be still, he's saying surrender, okay? When he says exist in this silence, you can't be frantic and still at the same time. Okay? As powerful as the human brain is, you can't be fearful, right? And take a huge act of commitment at the same time. All right? We can entertain the idea, but you can't take two actions at the same time. Right? So it's crazy because I want you guys to understand, it's like when he's saying be still, you have to surrender anxiety. It's one or the other. You can't do both. Can't be still. I mean, you can rest in anxiety if you want to. I guess that's an oxymoron, because anxiousness is not rest at all. But what I'm saying is you can lean on that if you want to. But he's saying surrender that anxiety, surrender that worry, surrender those doubts, surrender that uneasiness that you feel. Surrender it. If you give it to me, the exchange will, you can exist in stillness and peace. You can exist in stillness of mind. There has to be a trade-off. Because if you don't surrender those things, it produces uneasy and erratic behavior. The longer you let these thoughts float around in your mind and you do nothing with them, you start reacting to every situation instead of responding to them. And I love the fact that, because I say that all the time, I love the fact that Pastor Tommy brought that up this weekend, you know, reaction is dangerous. Reaction is dangerous. Reaction is what happens when somebody says something and you fly off the handle and you strike your girlfriend and didn't mean to, or you break something in the house, then you have to go back and pay for it. Like when you react, it never turns out good. You react and you say something very, very hurtful to your kid that they might not ever get over it. It may stick with them for the rest of your life because you reacted instead of taking time to calm down and think about what you're going to say before you say it, you know? So it's super important to surrender those things to God, especially, you know, oh my gosh, I can't explain to you how important it is, because I used to be a very angry guy, always angry. For those of y'all listening, it's been a long time, but I used to be a very angry guy, super angry. And I would have fits of rage because I could not surrender like the anxiety or the worry. I was always on edge, always on edge. And, you know, when I first felt myself get baptized in the Spirit of the Lord, it was almost kind of like I had finally exhaled for the first time. I can't explain it. But that's what, like, anxiety and depression and all those things, it's like when you hold on to that stuff, like unforgiveness and thoughts and things and what people said and what so-and-so treated you like a long time ago, like you're tense all the time, ready to pop off, ready to explode. And everybody is a villain to you. Everybody. You don't get along with nobody. You're on edge all the time. And you paint a smile on and you try to do the best you can, but you go home and you really live out your truth. The truth that you're hateful and you're angry and you're bitter and you're not happy and you can't enjoy yourself because of what you refuse to surrender. You know, and you got to understand that wrongful and anxious thoughts produce fear over time. Like, you become less and less vulnerable the longer you hang on to this stuff. And so when you become fearful, like you begin to manipulate, like you try to manipulate God's order, and you substitute like your order for His. Like He has a plan for your life, but because you're fearful of how things might turn out, you go and manipulate the whole situation because you think you know more. And so you don't even read God's word. You read the book of you, and you try going by those principles, and you try going by your own laws, and you can't do that. Because like I said, when you try to control your life, you end up losing control long term. Like you lose control over so many things. The more things you try to control and steer, you end up breaking yourself in the process. And you got to learn to let go. Right? So in order to be in stillness and to be in calm, you got to surrender. And again, and here, and for those of you who are listening, the thing that God is asking you to surrender is the thing that bothers you the most. If it's spoke about, if it's brought up, if it's talked about, it generally puts you on edge because that's the part that you really don't want to give to God. You know, and sometimes it's like another viewpoint, like of that manipulation though, sometimes it's like, you know, sometimes you become the embodiment of the thing that you fear most. That's another side effect of reacting to things and being fearful and trying to control things. You become the actual physical manifestation of the thing that you fear most. The thing that you try to protect your family, your kids, yourself from is what you actually become. Because you're so fearful of it, and I don't care who you are, if you're listening to this, trust me, you have not been Jesus' best friend. Like you have not been super holy. I promise you, you've done this. You've become the very thing that you speak against. As a matter of fact, as you speak it, you're becoming it. So we got to be cautious and careful with those things that we hold on to mentally, emotionally, because we start to embody those ideas. We become physical manifestations of them. And so if and you've heard this before, like thoughts become things. So when your mind is always chaotic and it's not quiet, those things, look, they become the actual things that you see. You begin to see it happen a lot more and more in your life. Right? And see, the thing or problem with not guarding your thoughts is that you can't have stillness at all. There's never any peace. In the book of Hebrews, it's talking about that you know, God still has a place of rest for us. But until we start obeying His word, we don't get to enter that rest. Because it takes faith to do so. And if you don't have enough faith to sacrifice those things, to surrender those things, you're not going to enter that rest. Right? Like you have to stop your striving. And you're always trying to do something like I said, to manipulate the situation or change the situation. Like stop, let it go. And so you have to realize, like, if there's no stillness of mind, then your actions are reactive to everything you see. Okay? So, in other words, guys, you're trying to create your own outcomes by proving yourself to be right. And you know what? You will be. You're going to be exactly whatever you think, you're going to be right. Proverbs 23 and 7 says, "For as a man thinks within himself, so is he. Or as a man thinks within his heart, so is he." Whichever manuscript you want to use. So that means you will set in motion and create the thoughts, right? You will create the thoughts that you meditate on. Like you'll make sure that it happens. You'll make sure that those things become true. If all you do is think about the past, trust me, you're doing nothing but ensuring that your past becomes your present. All of your behavior will make sure that you create a path for that to happen. So when Psalm 46:10 says, "Be still or surrender your anxiety," it's a warning. It's a warning. And this is a warning that is recurring within the Bible. It's saying if you don't get still mentally, you can't know God. Ooh, If you can't get still, you can't know God. Because one of the biggest tools that the enemy will use is busyness, distraction. I got to do this, I got to do that. So-and-so said this, so-and-so said that. So-and-so did this, so-and-so did that. I got to do this, I got to do that. And as long as you're buffering on that wheel, you never take time to feed yourself the word of God. You never take time to get intimate with God. You never take time to set up a true, genuine prayer other than what you're asking him to do for you. Prayer is a two-way street of communication. It's not just you talking to him and asking him what you want, but sometimes it opens the door. I'm not going to say sometimes, but when you get still and you listen, he then talks to you about what he wants from you, where to go, what's your next step. Here's where you should be looking. Let that go. Cut that person off. You shouldn't work here. You should work over there. You should start this business. You should stay away from that person. He opens up all these doors. But when you're the source, like when you're the reasoning of your own voice, he can't do nothing with that because you tell yourself everything. You've opened doors to people you shouldn't open doors to. You talk to people you shouldn't have talked to. As a matter of fact, some people have told you more about what you should do with your life than you've done with your own, or that you've consulted God to do about your own. You're giving other people more of a voice than God has in your own life. And then you get mad at him because of what he didn't do when you ain't even talked to him. How is that fair? How is that fair? It's like, and men do this a lot, it's like getting mad at your wife for something she should have assumed, but you never talked to her about it. That ain't fair. Oh, you should know what I'm thinking. And you know what? That's vice versa for women too. You should know what I'm, you should know me by now. Well, you didn't say it, so how would I know? I don't read minds. So the question is, oh, before I get to that question, I do want to say this. Like Paul said, it is with our mind that we serve the Lord. So if your mind is full of doubt, accusations, anger, fear, anxiety, depression, what so-and-so said, what so-and-so did, what space is there to get intimate with God? Where's the space? Where's the connection point? Right? What space is there? So how do we get still? Well, I'm glad you asked. I'm going to give you one verse before I get out of here. And I want you to think on this, man. So this there was a lot that I gave you in this. You can listen to it. You cannot listen to it. That's totally up to you. But again, I want to give you this one more scripture. It's in Habakkuk. You know what? I don't know how to pronounce it. Habakkuk. It's in chapter 2, verse 1. And here's the how. He says, I will climb up to my watchtower and stand at my guard post. There, I will wait to see what the Lord says and how he will answer my complaint. Okay? So check this out. He says, I will climb up to my watchtower, which means he's going to guard his thoughts. He's going to filter every single thing that comes into his mind. Right? He's going to guard his mind. He's going to climb up into his watchtower, and he says, I'm going to stand at my guard post, meaning he's going to start watching over every thought that comes into his mind. Every idea, every accusation, what so-and-so said, did that come from the Lord or did I say that? Hello. He says, there, where in his mind? There, where in his mind? I will wait to see what the Lord says and how he will answer my complaint. So in a Syriac version, Hebrew reads, I. So he says, and how I will answer my complaint. That changes it, doesn't it? How God doesn't necessarily answer your complaint, but how you answer your complaint. Have you ever considered to stop complaining? To see what is really going on in your mind? Have you ever considered to shut up and stop complaining to see what is really going on in your head? Because I promise you, a lot of you guys, and I've done this before too, that a lot of stuff that's going on mentally is a bunch of my complaining. And I'm gonna drop the mic right there. If you stop the complaining, there'll be less chaos. If you stop the complaining, you'll realize that the voices in your head are a lot of your own, nobody else's. If you stop the complaining, you finally get out of your own way so that God can finally talk to you. When you stop complaining, God can start showing you what he's capable of. If you stop complaining, if you just shut up, if you give yourself one day just to watch over all the complaining that you're doing and tell them all to shut up, God will start talking to you about what he really has on his heart to talk to you about. The question is, will you give him one day to listen? Not him listen to you, you listen to him. So I'm going to challenge all you guys to climb up to your watchtower and see what thoughts you're entertaining and see exactly where they're coming from. Right? So again, that's a back loop 2-in-1. That's a little bit longer than normal. Actually, you know, I've gone longer by myself, but this one was meaty. It was pretty meaty. However, I'm going to challenge all of you guys to get in the still. Get in the still. Exist in the peace of God. But in order to get there, you got to get to know God. And to get to know God, you got to shut up. In a relationship, two people talk, not just one. If it's just one person talking, that's a dictatorship, not a relationship. So if you want intimacy in anywhere in your life, shut up. Learn to let the other person talk. All right, this episode 26 is Keelan Martin. I'll see y'all next week. Peace.